Amen.
Amen. You know, as we go through life, we have a tendency to think we're by ourselves all the time. Yeah. If you're sitting in a tree stand, those of you that hunt, I'm out here all by myself. But if you know God, you'll know He's there. No matter where you're at. That's why the Bible puts it this way. There's no height nor depth, nor principality, nor angel, nor power on earth can separate you from the love of God. You know what the saddest thing to do is? Die and go to hell knowing that God loved you. Nothing. We all think, well, God can't love me. I've done too much. I can't tell you. I'm so sick of hearing that from people. You don't know me. You don't know how bad I am. Well, let's see. Did you persecute Christians in the name of God, kill them, burn them, beat them, stone them, throw them into prison, and do it all in the name of the same God that they were professing? When you get to that point, let me know. Because God still loved that man. And if you need a Road to Damascus intervention, I will pray for that. Trust me, I don't think you want to have to go to that point. Imagine how much Paul could have avoided if he had just said, you know what? Let me put two and two together. Jesus is the King of Kings. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a glorious day. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are merciful to all, that you love us all. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're showing us your love more and more. Father, help us to see your love. Help us to understand and comprehend the depth of your love, how deep that it really is, Lord. Father, as we draw near to you, your word says that you will draw near to us. And now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord, I present it to you as holy, as separate. Now, Father, I thank you for it, and on your behalf, I receive it and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Well, praise God. The last couple weeks, I have been talking about faith, hope, and love. Initially, when I first, God started moving on me to talk to you about hope. Because so many people, especially this time of the season, they lose hope. Even though we call this the season of love. The season of joy. So many people feel hopeless this time of the year. Springtime rolls around, suddenly hope is renewed. But for some reason, this time of the year, the time when people should feel more hope because they understand what God is doing. Maybe we should be more reflective of what God is doing. And so I thought maybe that was it. Maybe that was the crescendo of that message was just in that. And then God started bringing me back to 1 Corinthians 13:13, where it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." That really is powerful. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I can go into a store and find something that says faith, hope, and love. You go into somebody's house, they're not even believers. Faith, hope, and love. They've got it in their house and they don't understand it. Why? Because I don't believe the church understands it. Because all the church is now focused on is faith to get things. Can you use your faith to acquire the things you need? Absolutely. You trust that if you're doing the will of God, that God is going to bring the things you need. That is the scriptures. That is word that will hold water. And that dog will hunt. But to say that I'm just going to use my faith to keep making myself wealthy, well, that's a trap. Because the problem is it not fueled in love? We've been talking about this, that the greatest of these is love. First off, where do these three abide? This is just kind of refresher. Faith, hope, and love all abide within us. That is where they abide. They do not abide in the atmosphere, the spiritual realm. They abide in us. They are things that require a living being to grow. You cannot, hope just does not float on the water. Okay? Does it? Hope's just not out there bouncing around. Woo! Because if it were, we'd all grab hold. How about faith? Boy, if it was easy to get hold of faith like that, I'd just run out there and just grab me some faith out of the air. But faith does not work that way. And here's the greatest, and this is what we need to focus on more than any of that. As Paul said, but the greatest, the most important, the most powerful thing you can get hold of is the love. Oh, I just love every. We're not talking about gushy, mushy eros. The love that you feel for your spouse or the love you feel for your children. We're talking about loving people who are unlovable. The person who just put a dent in your car and walked away. Loving them. I'm not saying you're going to stand there, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for somebody dent in my car. Trust me, when I tell you a little dent is very expensive to fix. I put a little dent in the truck. Little. This big. By the time it was said and done, it cost $1,500. And it ain't all because the dealership charged that much. That little sticker on the back end of my truck cost $100 by itself. I thought, we could have done away with that sticker. I like it. But, you know, I mean, because I like the Tonka trucks that had them. But that's it. It don't have to have Z71. But you don't rejoice at those things, do you? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. What is the word of God? The word of God is the written and the spoken word that is about love. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the word was with God. I think I got that little flip-flop, but it holds. In the beginning, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning. He says the word. Why? Because when God spoke something, Jesus went out and it happened. And so when the word became flesh and dwelt among us, what is Jesus now? He's the incarnation of the word. What in reality is the word? The word is love, because God is love. And when we try to have faith without love, I think I'm getting way ahead of myself here. When we try to have faith without love, we have nothing. Oh, I believe God's bringing me a Cadillac. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my Cadillac. I want a Cadillac. Well, you can want. You can want. Why do you want? Well, I want a nice car. Well, that's fine. Are you capable of withstanding the pride that's going to come with it? Are you? Because, see, pride is the exact opposite of love. Pride makes you act like the same thing Balaam rode that talked to him. I'll make you dig in your Bibles later. That's what pride does to us. That's why God finds it an abomination. Anytime God puts a sin in the category of an abomination, it's because it's rooted in pride. And pride is the exact opposite of love, which is God. Why did Lucifer fall? Pride. It was the exact opposite of what God is. So Lucifer now stands as the exact opposite of who God is. Jesus Christ came as the fulfillment of God so that we could see. Why? Because we're natural beings. So many people today are trying to get you to see into the spiritual. Get in the spiritual realm. Listen, I'm not holding a seance. I am a flesh and blood being. You poke me, I'm going to say, ouch. And I'm going to be seriously tempted to poke you back. So make sure that it's out of jest. Well, you don't sound like you've got everything under control. I didn't say I hit you. I said I'm going to be tempted. It is not a sin to be tempted. If so, then Jesus Christ failed his mission. Right? So let's quit getting on people that are tempted. I was tempted. Well, brother, if you were more spiritual, you wouldn't be even tempted. Hogwash. Shut up, you prideful thing. Get saved and repent. So anyhow, I think it's time I go to my notes. As soon as I get my glasses out of my pocket. All right, my notes. 1 Corinthians, it said, faith, hope, and love abide. Now these three things. First off, faith. Faith is knowing, isn't it? Faith is knowing that God is going to. Faith is the belief we have that God is going to. For some of us, it goes just beyond just a little belief, because beliefs can be stolen. Well, I believe. If you think I'm kidding, look around. We've confused people today that used to believe they were men and women. Yeah, pretty sure the genetics are there. Everything inside says I'm a male. Therefore, I am a man. I know that. That's my faith. Hope. Hope is the vision down the road, right? We call it the dream. If you're in a church today that was all just about building you up, they're going to tell you to dream. Wash your dreams out and get hope in Christ of what he's got for you. Because what Christ has for you is so much better than what you can dream up. Oh, Lord, I want this and I want that. I want this. I don't want my children to ever have to struggle. I don't want my children to ever have to do anything. Listen, neither do I. But let me tell you what happens when our children do not learn to become men and women through tests. They remain children. I don't want my children acting like children, especially when they have children. And that's what we've got going on today. We have so many people that call themselves adults acting like children. That's why they go on public record and stand and scream and cry and throw temper tantrums. Instead of realizing the decision is made, that is that. Suck it up, buttercup, and move on with your life. I don't want my children to have to struggle. But should my children struggle, I have faith in knowing that through the hope that I have in Jesus Christ, my children will be fine. Because they will overcome. Because the same God that is in me is in them. Rob and I were talking about this morning, about the people make decisions. Yes, the influences of your upbringing, the influences around you will help you in that. But ultimately, you made the decision. If you made the decision to have the affair, you made the decision. It doesn't matter on the rest of it. It was you who did it. Now, so we were talking about this, and that the thing that we have to hold on to is the fact that we have put hope in for our children. That they now have that seed, that when it's, listen, well, I just don't, my child is 50 years old still acting like this. Well, did you put the seed in there? Yeah. Well, you do know that the seed of the Word of God never dies. It's always ready to go. And the only time that it's too late is when they've taken their last breath. So have faith and hope for the best. Okay? But out of all of this, Paul said love is the greatest. Why is love the greatest? Because love is the fuel. Love is what keeps your faith moving. Love is what fuels that hope, that what we call a dream. That is what is so important about love. And we're not talking, again, about the gushy-mushy love. We're talking about the love that, you know what? I can be here and I can bail you out, but you keep doing this to yourself. And you're not going to change until I step aside and let you rely on God. Oh, Pastor, that just sounds like you don't love your children. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think there's anybody who could love them more than I do. I think I've told you that. But there are times I've had to step aside and said, you make your decision. You know, as the old Elvis song went, it's your baby, you rock it. Our children make their own decisions, and they have to go through that. So we hope that the seed that we put in them will come to pass. That at some point before it is too late, it will grab hold, and they will turn and change. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Again, proving that hope is the vision, the thing that we're looking at. So now, we go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. This one will come up. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Our faith works through love or by love. You want somebody to be healed? I pray to God that you love them. You've got to start changing why you pray for people. Well, I got to pad my numbers. Why do you bring people to Christ? Well, we need to make sure that we've led one person a week. Why are you setting earthly, ungodly goals like that? Are you getting credit for recruitment? Because I'll tell you what happens with recruiters. They lie to get people. Why do you think people hate coming to church? Come to church and all your problems go away. No, they don't. Your problems do not go away just because you came to church. You are in this world, so the devil hates you. That's all there is to it. And he will use every power that he can to destroy you. Because what happens is when you get saved, your friends are going to turn against you. Why? Because you're no longer going out and acting like an idiot. Mine did. If yours didn't, I don't know what happened. Maybe they, maybe a little smarter. But my friends showed me how shallow they were. Hey, Woody's not buying anymore. Let's quit hanging out with him. Even though Woody didn't change. I'm the same guy that I was, just not drunk. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, it's amazing the difference between somebody who knows how to manipulate a cymbal and somebody who doesn't. I could go up there, well, I can actually somewhat play, so I can't do that. I can keep rhythm. But if somebody who's never tried to play a drum or a cymbal goes up in there and starts trying to do what Joshua just did, and he makes it look fluid. By the way, he has practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced for about 20 years to do that, to make it feel like that. But if somebody with no experience, no whatever, goes up, that's exactly what they're going to sound like. It's going to sound awful. It takes practice over and over and over and over and over. Joshua didn't. He had a natural ability. When he was playing her pots and pans, and that's what he did. About 3-4 years old, he's ding, 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 ding. And we're like, he can actually keep a beat. Praise God, God has given my children those abilities. So that's what we become. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I don't care what your faith can do. I don't care if you can go out and you can prophesy up one side and down the other side. I don't care if you go out and you tell Mount Everest to move and it moves. But if you didn't do it with love, you're a fool. Let me ask you a question. Why would you go tell a mountain to move like that? Because it was in my way. Who cares about you? What about the people that make their living off of that mountain? What about the people who are living on that mountain, who have herds on that mountain? You just uprooted 1,000 people because you're selfish, because you're too lazy to go around it. While Jesus said I could move the mountain, Jesus said work with love. Love does not do it out of selfish ambitions. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Again, we're going in. What if Mother Teresa? I believe that woman went into heaven and Jesus himself met her. Forget Peter at the gate. I believe Jesus said, step aside, Peter, if he's actually there. I don't think he is, but that's all of our jokes. But I have not love. She did it because she loved the people. That's why. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love doesn't say, look what I've done. I need y'all to make sure that I did this. Here, let me make sure that everybody knows I did this. That's why the Bible tells us not to be blowing our own horn. Let somebody else praise us. It will get found out who did it. Without love, folks, no amount of faith means anything. You can lead healing crusades, means absolutely nothing because you didn't do it because you loved people. You did it because you loved the attention. You loved how it made you feel. All I'm going to tell you right now, if you're doing the will of God in your life, there is no greater feeling. But if you're not doing it because you love people, love those people in particular. I tell people, if you're called to Africa, why are you here? No, you need to be where God has anointed you to be. That would be like me trying to preach minister as a pastor here and living someplace warm. I'm not a part of you. If you're going to love those people, you need to be a part of them. Paul was not a pastor. Paul could not have been a pastor. He wasn't anointed as a pastor. He was an apostle. It was in Paul to go build churches, to build the church up. There were others who were called to be pastors. James was one of them. James was the brother of Jesus. By the way, he did have brothers. Mary wasn't one child. She wasn't a one-hit wonder. She had other children. So when we understand that through love, our faith is going to move. Why? Because it's God's power that's moving through us, not our own. That's why people keep thinking, well, I got to pray for you 10 times. No, you don't need to pray for people 10 times. Now, I will say there is one scripture we have where Jesus prayed for a man twice. Well, whatever happened, I don't know, and I ain't going to argue. Some people argue, well, he opened his eyes and he was in the spiritual, he was a blind man. What do you see? So I see men walking around as trees. I've heard people, well, he saw them in the spirit. I don't know, maybe. Or maybe, you know, if you ever wake up, anybody ever had, they put that cream in your eyes if you got a scratch or something, and you try to look at people, what do you see? Blobs. I see trees. They tell me they're a person, but all I see is this brown blob standing here because I can't see. I don't know. Don't know why he had to do it, but I do know there's only one time. So you do not need to keep pounding on top of people. And neither do you need to keep going every week. I'm going to show you a couple things. And I'm trying to condemn you. If that's what you're receiving now, quit receiving it. Because it's not what it's meant. I want to show you something that will help every area of your life. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? This is Peter trying to walk on the water. Peter began to sink. Peter began to fear for his life. Was he in fear for the other men's life in the boat? No.
Because they weren't on the water. It was only him. Why did Jesus address him and say, why did you doubt? It's a love issue, folks. Peter did not understand God's love for him. That what God would do for Jesus, the Messiah, that he would do it for him. After this, they said, truly you are the Son of God. They didn't understand who they were. They only understood that God loved Jesus. That's all they understood. They didn't understand how much God loved them. That he would say, you can walk on the water. But he doubted. God doesn't love me as much as he does Jesus. Let me tell you right now, God loves you as much. That's why he sent Jesus. He didn't send Jesus to die for saints. He sent Jesus to die for a lost world. And by the way, this is a problem we have. We look at the world. I would just forget the world. Do you understand? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved all those people that you despise and you hate. He loved all those people that you just said, well, you know what? Forget them all. He loved those people. Religion tells us to push people out and push them away. Love says, I'll die for you. If for the chance. You need to understand that. It's not a guarantee that the world's going to get saved, is it? Do people die and go to hell? Yes, they do, every day. They die without Christ. Jesus did it for a chance. Why did you doubt? Because they didn't have faith. Now, I'm not going to bring up a scripture on this one, but this is not the only time he addressed the disciples and said, oh, you of little faith, is it? We can go down to there, oh, you of little faith. And we all try to come up with reasons on how to build our faith. Don't we? Every message I've ever heard that brings those up talks about you got to fast, you got to pray, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to spend 10 hours a day in the Word. You got to be praying in tongues 5 hours a day. You got to be talking. You got to be doing this. You got to be worried. You got to be doing everything you can do to build your faith. Tell you what, you do all that and I'm going to work on building my love, because here's the problem. They didn't love themselves. They didn't. They couldn't understand it because they were still thinking religiously. How could God love me? When people would come and they couldn't, like the man with the boy with palsy. And he looked at him and he said, oh, you have little faith. And they said, well, how can this one come out? I honestly do not believe it was the spirit that couldn't come out because of faith, or because of a lack of faith. I believe it's their lack of love. Jesus said, you don't cut off things from you to build your love. That's why you fast and pray, FYI. It's not so magically your faith increases. It's so that you can bring your body into submission and hear from God. Okay? So in reality, when Jesus would talk to them and said, oh, you of little faith, he wasn't addressing that. He was actually addressing their fact that they didn't love those people enough. I can prove it. I don't have the scripture, but you can look it up. Jesus and the disciples walked out of a town. I don't remember which town it is now. They did a lot of towns. They rejected Jesus. And as they're leaving, they probably pushed him out of town. You need to understand it. In Nazareth, they tried to push Jesus off of a cliff. When it said they rejected Jesus, they wouldn't just say, oh, just get out of here. They physically were pushing him over a cliff. And I love the fact that he just walked right through them and they had no idea. I watched that on the X-Files one time. It was pretty cool. But they were pushed out of town. They were forced out of town. And as they were leaving, the disciples said, do you want us to call down fire like Elijah did and destroy them? And Jesus said, you do not know the spirit you are of. Love does not do that. That's why he told us, if they reject you, just shake off the dirt. By the way, the shaking off the dirt is symbolic. It's for you. Get it through your head. It's for you to get over it, forget it, and move on with your life. But because they didn't have love for themselves, they didn't have love for the people. You have to love you. You have to understand how much God loves you. That even if you were the only person on this planet, he would still have sent Jesus Christ to die for one. Uno. You. Jesus would have gave up the glorious body. Do you understand? He is now stuck in a flesh and blood body. It is a glorified body at this juncture, but nonetheless, he is still flesh and blood now. He's just like you or me, only glorified. His body's not susceptible to the ages. None of that. But he is in a flesh and blood body. I feel the Spirit of Jesus. Let's just say the Spirit of God. Let's start getting things really actually more accurate. I mean, we like to be accurate, right? The Holy Spirit and God are omnipotent. Or omnipresent, I'm sorry. They're omnipresent. They're everywhere. Jesus Christ is now one. He's just like us. He gave up the other side. Do you get it? He walked away from that for you. That's how much God loves you. You need to understand that. You need to get it in your head that God loves you. And if God loves you, he loves them. And if you can't love the people, why are you ministering? Why are you doing this? Why are you giving prophecies? If you can't love the people, you are nothing more than a noisemaker. In my opinion, you're a kazoo. Right? You're annoying. Everybody could see through you. And I'm going to promise you, if you are actually of God doing it, you will not have to say that you're of God. God's not weird. God's not stupid, and he's not foolish. That comes from us. We throw the weirdness in. We throw the stupidity and the foolishness into it. God said, I love them. Bring them in. Lift me up and let me draw people. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 and 10. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, I caught this today, folks, for the first time. A man made the king of the universe, the creator of the world, marvel. Right there it is. Is that not what it says? He marveled. He was astounded. And said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. You need to understand something. If you're trying to teach on faith and authority, this is one place people go. As a Marine, I was taught there are two types of leaders, authoritarians and persuasive. The authoritarians don't care about you. They just want you to do it because they said. Persuasive will try to convince you to do what's right and do it right because it's right. What kind of leader was the centurion? He's authoritarian. He said, I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell him to come, and he comes. Military, you kind of got to have it. You need a mix, actually. If you're one way or the other completely, you are not going to be a very effective leader. You'll be either hated or ran over. But Jesus looked at him. Let me paint you a little better picture of this. This was a centurion. See, we have no comprehension in the United States of real class separation. This centurion wasn't exactly a lowly status. And he came to Jesus. First off, he came to somebody of a lower social standing than him. He was a Roman. Jesus was a Jew. They didn't think a whole lot about the Jews. They were a defeated country. That's all that they felt.
And it says he came to Jesus pleading. No Roman went to anybody they had conquered and begged. That's what he was doing. He was pleading. Now, I can understand it. His wife is at home sick and dying. His beloved, his betrothed, she's dying. It was a slave. If you thought slaves were treated bad in the United States, understand this. Slaves were treated worse in Rome. They had no say. They were raped, they were abused, they were beaten, they were killed, and no repercussions. They weren't even seen as people. That's how bad they treated them. So what do we got going on here? We've got a higher standing Roman officer begging a Jew to heal his slave. Jesus looked and he marveled. Why did he marvel? Because this was not supposed to be. This man loved this slave. That he would take, you need to understand, it was a sign of weakness for him to come to Jesus to begin with, let alone beg him to heal a servant. But the love that this centurion had for this servant, for this slave, was so great that he was willing to put his entire career. Do you understand? They could kill him. It was a sign of weakness, and they didn't want weakness. Not at this level of authority. You came in and you ruled with authority. Total fist of iron. That was Rome's theology. And Jesus marveled. Why was he marveling? He was marveling because here stands before me this Roman centurion begging that I heal this slave. And he said, you marvel me. I have not found such great faith. Why? Because his faith was so great in Jesus Christ healing that he took everything. He laid his life aside for this other. The Bible tells us in John 13, I believe it's 15, no greater love has any man that he would lay down his life for a friend. No greater love do we have for one another when we will lay aside our desires, our wants, our ambitions for somebody else's. When we can do that, the Bible tells us there's no greater love. Now that doesn't say that we just wipe away all of our ambitions. Maybe God's got a little different spin on them. Maybe God's got something better for you. But there's no greater love than if you lay that down. That is one reason why I will speak. I laid down my right to speak. Military doesn't have the right to speak. You need to understand that. Freedom of speech is not in the military. We do not have it. We laid it down. Ours was to do or die, cut and dry. That's why they will not stop me. I served for this right. I earned this right. No greater faith. Folks, if you want great faith, you had better work on your love. You had better work on how you see people. You see somebody across the street, the kids are hooligans and just running all over the neighborhood. Ask God how you can help. Well, you know, I've called the cops 10 times. And is that helping? They know you're calling, by the way. You wonder why your house keeps getting egged. Start praying for them. Swallow your pride. That's what's keeping you from praying for them. You think you're better than they are. Anytime we've prayed for anybody, again, when we had the witch that was two doors away, boom, boom, just on the next street over,
We didn't pray God to run her out of town. We didn't pray God bring her to justice. We didn't pray that said, Lord, help her to repent. And if she will not repent, then move her out. But we prayed for repentance. She left. But it was not because we were praying and driving out the spirit of witchcraft. Oh my goodness. If you understand how many witches are actually in this town, not everybody got it on their license plates. If you know what you're looking for, you can pick out symbols, tattoos. And by the way, most time, people that practice witchcraft have been rejected by what they call a normal society. Because in witchcraft, you accept everybody. When the church knows how to love like Jesus, we'll have the faith of Jesus. We'll be able to walk on water. We'll be able to walk into a room and walk back out. And nobody see the door open. Because it didn't. That's faith in God. By the way, those are extremely mature things to do with faith. Because God's not going to let somebody who's a peeping Tom do that. I don't want anybody to... Hello, I'm in the shower here, dude. Well, God, you were just on my heart. God, what? You pray for me out there. Don't come in my shower. I used to have to shower with 80 guys, and it was a little crowded. My shower's only big enough for one. That's what I did when I made it. Yep. I don't hit the walls. But folks, if we want to grow faith, right? That's our kind of our point. We got to be strong in faith. But we got to hold on to the hope. What are we holding on to down here? Well, if everything isn't the little pie in the sky visions that we have, trust me, life today is not the pie in the sky vision I had back then. But through maturity and growing, one in love and growing up, I realized bits and pieces of the pie in the sky dream I had here are here. But this is better. This is much better than what this was. We got to have the hope of glory. When we die, we close our eyes and we wake back up in glory. That we're saying, we're hearing, welcome home. Not welcome to hell. When we hold our faith for that thing, we've got to remember there are people and there are spiritual forces out there that are bent on destroying what God has birthed in you. No matter what it is, God has birthed in you. I will tell you right now, God started moving on my heart that when you make a commitment to something, I don't care if it's your marriage, I'm going to tell you this right now, young people, old people, don't matter. When you make a commitment in marriage, the second you do that, the devil steps in and says, I got to tear this apart. That is why we now have goofiness going on in our society today. Which is, by the way, pride. When we make that commitment, no matter what it is, I'm going to promise you right now, if you make a commitment to go on a diet, start losing weight, what happens? Everything you see becomes a Tootsie Roll. I got to have the Tootsie Roll. You're tested. You're pushed. Oh, but if I could just have a little nibble. Nope. Exactly. Just a little bit of the Twinkie. I'll just take a little bit of the Twinkie every day. You're not training your body a new lifestyle. Oh, yes. They're finally getting back to close to what they were. When they brought them back, they weren't the same. But when you do that, you start getting attacked. When you make a commitment, God, I'll never do this again. Listen, I've been a pastor for 17 years. And time and time and time again, when I hear people say, I'll be back, I'll be in church, I'll be there, they don't show. Being in church is a commitment. Do you think I get up Sunday morning, woohoo, I'm going to jump in, I'm going to praise the Lord, I'm going to preach, and going to have a good old time? Man, I'm going to tell you right now, there's some days. Listen, Friday, you see the distance from there to there? That's a little about 10 feet, isn't it, Pat? That's about 10 feet. I fell Friday that high. I fell off of a tree stand. Off of the tree stand, not out of it. But praise God, I landed on my feet and did the paratrooper roll, as Pat said. But I'm going to tell you right now, at 48 and 190 pounds, that's really fast when you fall. I'm sore this morning. I got parts on me that are, I'm like, oh, yeah. I felt all that fat jiggle. Praise God, my knees are fine. It was everything else that said, don't do that again. I didn't want to get up this morning. I was like, oh, I'm so comfortable. I'm warm. The bed's warm. My joints feel good. My muscles are feeling good. I don't hurt if I lay in this position right here. No, not even a pastor wants to come to church every Sunday. But it's something you have to do. You make a commitment to do it, no matter how you feel. I hope you're laughing with me on that. I'm going to tell you, ask Pat, when the tree, we were taking it down and the tree stand came back like that, it went over center, and I'm like, do I stay here paralyzed in fear and ride it down? And maybe it puts me on top of a stick? Yeah. Or do I jump? So I yelled, Pat! He was underneath me. And so I just jumped. Bam! And, yeah. But I hit the ground, and you can ask Pat, I got up laughing. I got up laughing. What's that? Oh, yeah, he was laughing, too. It's about all you can do, man. It's like, Pat! Part of it was, the part where it pivoted, it wasn't going to be a fun ride if I held on to it. But I was thinking about that this morning, folks, how miraculous it really was. Because when Pat went to get the pull the tree, the leg that digs into the tree was embedded back into the tree just a little bit. And it's like, it shouldn't have gone back in, but it did. So I have to stay here and believe it wasn't my ability to jump, even though I can do that. I haven't jumped that far in 20 years. And I believe, honestly, that God just whoop. Because if I'd have just dropped straight down, I'd have landed on Pat. But God moved me about 5 feet away from Pat. And I'm here. But I just told you all that to tell you, not everybody feels like coming to church. I understand if you've been battling sickness. I get that. Don't bring it and share it. But don't let, my butt hurts. Get up. Shake it off. And move. Because when you get up and you keep the commitment. When we got married, when we were married, I went back overseas. I didn't go to church. I went back into the wild lifestyle that I was living over there. I didn't go to church. So when we got back, I had a whole new set of circumstances to live up to. She wanted to go to church. I didn't. Because I hadn't been going to church for 6 months. It was a training of my body. Get up, go to church. Get up, go to church. You do it. But when you make that commitment, you get attacked. Oh, the bed is just so warm, and you could hear the wind howling outside, or you could see the snow blowing sideways. Yeah, I know.
I promise you, when you make a commitment, you do it. By the way, if the roads are ever bad enough, you already know, we'll cancel the service. But we got to be at the top level. If you don't want to come, praise and worship with us at home. But we're going to have it because we made a commitment. The reason I'm here, I need you guys to understand this. I didn't love you enough to open a church 17 years ago. She did. She's the one that started thinking about the people. I started thinking about the backstabbings coming. I've told you about people, what all my pastors said before. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. Yeah, you do get backstabbed, lied about, lied to. But in the end, what's different from there than any place I ever worked? I mean, come on. I had people running around, oh, he's sleeping with that person. No, I'm not. So, by the way, just don't believe every lie you hear at work about somebody. You never know. You honestly don't know what they're saying about you. That's why we might talk more a little bit about love next week as well, but love believes all things, but that's not the bad things. It believes the good. I'm going to tell you right now, she has been one to help me to believe the good in people. Because when things have happened in the last 17 years, I've wanted to revert back to the previous, from the years 89 to 93, where you just destroy them all and let God sort them out. And she's like, honey, she talks me down. And it's like, okay. And as I've gotten a little older and matured even more, I've understood. Yeah, I can't quite do that. But I can promise you, if it wasn't for her love for people, because I didn't have it, I do now. That's why I'm still here. That's why when I pray for people, I believe God's moving. I've learned to love who I am. Do you know, you really weren't a deceitful, you weren't an awful person. Those were characteristics we all have. You just chose to exemplify them. Exemplify the characteristics of God now. Slow to anger. Patient. Kind. When you start working through all of them, God can move. Well, God, I've attained here. Well, move on to the next one. Don't stop at one. You've got to keep progressing. And when you keep progressing, you'll find suddenly it doesn't bother you anymore. It doesn't affect you anymore. Who cares what people say? Who cares what they did? Let's stand. We live in a day and age where being a Christian is made fun of now. And if you are going to be a Christian, you need to compromise the Word of God. Folks, we do not need to compromise. I do believe the church as a whole has a lot of things it needs to clean up. I think we need to quit focusing on the wrong things and focus on what Jesus taught us, what he taught us. Not what we think he taught us. As they say, pay a little more attention to the words in red. When we gave Justin a Bible for his 13th birthday, Angela wrote in there, she said, we recommend you start reading in the words in red in John. Because John, of all the disciples that Jesus had, understood love. You need to understand, he's the one that when they were eating dinner, he laid his head on Jesus' chest. Today, we'd say he had homophobic tendencies. Or homo, whatever. But it wasn't so. By the way, they weren't so bent out of shape about a little bit of affection either. Men don't hug. Oh, shut your stupid pie hole.
Men cry. I can promise you the toughest Marine breaks down and cries when he loses a buddy. We've taught through religion. Religion taught this. You don't shed a tear. It's not manly. Excuse me. Men aren't afraid. Yeah, they are. They're scared to death. Choking myself off here. They get scared. Real men get scared, but courage rises up and overcomes the fear. That's what makes you a man. All these guys that got the Medal of Honor, they were scared to death when they went running out on that battlefield. But they did it because they loved the things behind them greater than they did themselves. And when we get that and we understand that, we'll understand, hey, it's okay to hug my children. It's okay to love them. It's okay to tell them. There's a novel idea. Well, I've showed them 1,000 times. Well, evidently, there's been some other things that have blinded them from seeing the good. Maybe you need to tell them now. And while you're at it, maybe apologize for the crap you'd put them through. Just saying. Love conquers all. Love does cover a multitude of sins. But you have got to do your part. You've got to grow in it yourself. Love is not an easy road to hoe. If it were, everybody would do it. Moms and dads would never fall out of love. You got to constantly work on it. And just keep in mind, periodically, there has to be some fertilizer put down in that row. And my last sniffing in the neighborhood when they fertilized, it doesn't smell good. But boy, does it make the crops grow. All right, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. And Lord God, I thank you now that first off, Lord, you're helping us all to love ourselves the way you love us, to help us to see how you love us, why you love us, even though that may remain a mystery. But Father, I pray now that you help us in this. Help us to receive your love. Help us to grow in your love. And Father, I pray now that as we do that, that you help us to love those around us, to love our neighbor. Father, first, your words are coming now. Two things: love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Father, those two things, help us in them. And now, Father, I pray right now for those who do not know Jesus Christ in here today. Lord, I pray that you show them the need, the desire. As a matter of fact, Lord, I'm going to ask if there's anybody that wants to know Jesus, just slip your hand up. I'm not having you come up. I'm going to pray with you from up here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you will not understand love. Love will always be something that can be stolen from you. Okay. But I'm going to tell you right now, if there's anybody, for any reason, you want to know that, just say, Jesus, help me. Be my Savior. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord God. I thank you. I am truly grateful for them. I pray, Father, that as they go out about this week, Lord, that their love will overflow in their hearts and that they cannot help but to pour out on the people around them. In Jesus' name, amen.